Blog Talk Radio.
I'm rolling down a lonely highway, asking God to please forgive me for messing up the blessing He gave to me. I see everything clear but now. The night is blackest it's ever been. Without my girl, I'ma lose it. And I pray that He just sheds His grace on me. I need just to be back with my baby.
Feel like I'm standing for my life away.
If it's meant to be, she'll come back and she'll forgive me. And the best thing I can do is to just let her go. I know I don't wanna do it, but if I continue to push, she'll just pull away. And I know that in my heart it's a reality. I didn't treat her like she wanted to be treated, and I hope that she's not alone.
Hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Tony and Kai Show with your hosts, Tony Wade and Kaixa Rodriguez. We are broadcasting live from Richmond, Virginia. It is December 5th, and it is 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are so wonderfully pleased and appreciative and grateful to be here another day. Thank God for life and all of that good stuff, and that we are here and able to be on the lines with you today. Our guest tonight is Andrea Clinton, and she has a novel out, and we are going to get into that in a hot second. But, baby, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
See, don't he sound so down, y'all? Why do you sound so down? You got to stop sounding so down and depressed. You gotta. What happened to, remember the days when Tony was like, you know, we couldn't get him to be quiet. You know, he'd start talking and he'd just talk. And we'd be like, okay, you know, what happened to them days, baby?
Nothing happened to him.
Now you sound so down. You'd be like, yeah, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
I'm focused.
Okay.
Called being focused.
Okay. I need you to focus on happiness for the next 25 minutes.
Really?
Happiness, joy, joy. Remember that movie with the girl and she's getting married and she's like, I am happy. Don't I look happy? I need you to be that right now, real quick.
Got issues.
Oh, I know. But how's the book coming, baby?
Book is coming. That's why I'm focused. Book is coming. Actually working on two. Somebody hit me up and wanted me to finish when I had started, and the one that I'm doing, I'm working on that at the same time. So I did a little intro for that book, and the one that is mine completely that I'm focusing on to get out, Vengeance, that's coming. I put so many twists in it that I got to be mindful of what I'm doing. So I'm trying to stay focused so people can follow.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, my baby is about to release his debut novel into the literary world, Vengeance Unleashed. So if you have not had a chance to check him out, and I think the first chapter or so maybe up that you can review, that you can read, the trailer is up that you can see. He's writing a thriller, right? Mystery thriller, mystery suspense.
It's a suspense thriller action.
Yeah.
All of that.
Check out author Tony Wade, Wade, on Facebook, or authortonywade.webs.com for his website, and you can get some information. Kudos to Donna Osborne Clark for the book cover. It's gorgeous. We love you. Thank you so, so, so much for it.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you very, very much.
Yes, yes. Our guest, Andrea, I'm going to read a short part of her bio before we get to her. She is an English teacher, a novelist, poet, essayist, and aspiring screenwriter, filmmaker. She graduated from Montclair State University in New Jersey, where she achieved her degree in English film and journalism. She is the founder and CEO of the nonprofit organization People Helping People and has worked as editor-in-chief of Amistad newspaper, which is also in New Jersey. She is presently working on her biography and screenplay on a biography and screenplay featuring the life of her uncle George Clinton of the Parliament Funkadelic Clinton family. We love George Clinton. I miss him.
I got to see Funkadelic.
Yeah, we got to put some of that up. I should have put some of his music on. Oh,
serious.
I know. We should have downloaded some of him, and he should have been the intro. Oh my goodness.
It was a good. They did their thing. They did their thing when they came to Mass. They tore up.
Yes, we are originally from Massachusetts. Everyone, you know, relocated to Virginia for about a year now. But ain't nothing like home. Nothing like home. Love it here, but you know, nothing like home. Nothing like home. So she, Andrea, is now has released her first novel, which is one of five of her Life Knows No Bounds series. She began these chronicles to exhibit and address through fiction the many directions life takes, no matter the class of people. It is her goal to show readers that life isn't gunning for them necessarily. In particular, it just doesn't know any boundaries. So, without further ado, we are going to bring on our guest, and we are going to let you know, we're going to do what we do, you know, talk and find out about what she's done, what she's doing, where she's going. One of the books is, that book, I believe, has been picked up, and it'll be made into a movie next year. So we're going to find out, you know, all about the different things that she's done and how you guys can get in touch with her and get your copy of the book and all of that good stuff, you know, because that's what we do.
Let's do it.
Andrea, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, how you guys doing?
How you doing, Andrea?
Hey, how's it going?
We are great. We are blessed. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. This asthma's trying to sneak up on me. This weather's real tricky, you know?
Tell me about it. I can't stand tricky weather.
Where are you calling from, Andrea?
New Jersey.
Oh, you're in New Jersey still. Okay.
Yeah. How's the weather down there with you guys?
We're at 64 degrees right now.
Which isn't bad for those that are suffering.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's not too, too cold, but I know it's cold. I don't know what the temperature is, but I know it's cold because it got my asthma acting up. I'm like, come on now.
Yeah, yeah. See, it's here. It's cold in the first half of the day, the first part of the day, the earlier part. You know, the temperature drops down. It gets kind of cold at night, and early in the morning, it's cold. And then as the day progresses, it gets warm, and then nightfall, it drops back down again. So
it's crazy here.
Yeah.
You know, back home, we're used to by 12, it reaches its peak. And then, you know, it starts to drop. By here, 5 o'clock, it reaches its peak. I mean, it was 40 around, you know, 10 this morning, and it's now 6 o'clock at night, and it's 64. So, I mean, it won't get cold until about 10. You know, it was really weird adjusting to that over the summertime. You think, okay, it's 50 or, you know, whatever. But, nope, by the time it's still climbing.
Yeah, it's crazy here. It's like we had a couple of days and it was beautiful, and I kept trying to tell my kids, like, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. And then my son got sick and my daughter got sick. I told y'all, you don't listen to me. I know. This weather's too tricky.
It is. It's tricky. You can't afford to just throw yourself out there, and, you know, at the whim of what you with your eyes. You have to know, okay, this is a trick.
Yeah.
This is a trick, and, you know. You know, they set me up for pneumonia. That's what you gotta go there, because otherwise you're going to get caught.
That's true, setting you up for pneumonia. I never thought about it like that, but it sure does seem like it.
Yeah, serious.
Oh, yeah. Definitely that. So, Andrea, let everybody know, you know, we got your bio, we got, you know, the little brief about what the series is going to be about, but how did you get into writing?
Actually, my grandmother, she was, you know, into education. She had a PhD in early childhood education. And so she actually, on my grandmother's side of the family, they were all like teachers and professors, and on my mother's side. And they just believed in education so much. You know, I mean, I'm going to be wrong, both sides did, but those guys were on the other side, which is George Clinton's side. That's the singers and the entertainers, you know. So, but on my mother's side, they were just like, you know, they believed in reading and writing and, you know, just doing your thing. And I guess I picked up on it because I just love writing. I like not just, you know, fiction and that type of thing or screenwriting, but I also like, you know, writing stories, writing commentary. I just love to write. You know, it's like talking on paper, you know. So I guess she started with me with that when I was about 7, 8 years old. Excuse me. And I've been just, you know, doing that, like, ever since, just, you know, putting my thoughts on paper and jotting stories. I think the first thing I wrote was actually a play, and, you know, I've just been, you know, doing it ever since.
Wow. Well, I mean, because you do. I mean, you have a nice background with literary things, you know, from being an English teacher to, you know, screenplay writing and things like that. So you have, you know, that deep, good background. Who were some of your mentors upon taking this? I know that you've done a lot of this, the creation of your book yourself, but what process did you go through, you know, learning the business, the ins and the outs? You know, did you look to, like, other authors? Did you just do, you know, a lot of Google searches? Did you buy books? How did you learn how to craft a book?
I don't know, because I was always told, even from, like, my grandmother, she published 2 books of poetry, and I was always told to just write, you know what I mean? Like, don't worry about the extra stuff. When the book is done, now you're at that point of worrying about who's going to edit it, you know, who's going to, you know, lay it out, or who's going to, you know, go through and make sure it's developmentally sound. So, you know, in the beginning, excuse me, sorry, this asthma's trying to kick in, but in the beginning, it's like pulling me back, and I'm pulling forward. But in the beginning, that's, you know, just where my head was. You know, I had heard it so much, you know, just write. Don't worry about anything, just write. So that's what I focused on, you know, just writing. And then because I didn't complete anything that I've written because I wrote some shorts for magazines. I wrote some for newspapers. But I didn't do an actual novel. I didn't complete one until 2007 when I did the first book that was out. And then I did the other 4, like, right behind them. So I can't really say, you know, when I actually, you know, learned how to, you know, just kind of put them all together. I did a lot of literature, of course, because I was reading with my students, you know, and, you know, of course, you see how, you know, layout and format and things like that there and how to put it together with plot and theme and, you know, climax and all of that. But, you know, I'm a realism buff and a naturalism buff, so I don't really follow all of the whole plot theme, you know, and all of that kind of thing. You know, it mm-hmm. is because it's realism. I'm sorry, because it's realism, it just is what it is. You know, it's not going to always materialize with this rise and climax that is very similar to the whole Hollywood way of doing things, you know, where you have your beginning, you have your middle, you have your end, and your things that happen between, and then these little sparkles that glitter, you know, every now and again to keep the people, you know, excitable or whatever. You know, it does, realism and naturalism doesn't, you know, it's not like that. And I'm such a huge fan of it, I think I'm like a junkie for it, because when I write... Really, when I write, you know, I just feel like if you start, you know, if you start doing those kind of things, it takes away from the creativity. But at the same time, you still have to be smart. Like, people do want to have that rise and climax, even if it's not, you know, at that peak in the middle of the book. They still want to have those, you know, things that keep them excited, you know. So I think, you know, I think just over the years, reading and getting my own ideas, like, oh, that was good how he did that. I think I'll do mine like this, you know. Or that was good, but, you know, I don't think that's quite me. I think my style is a little different. I think those are the kind of things that kind of, like, help to mold me into, you know, the writer that I am.
Wow. There are a lot of people out there that like to write, but writing, just writing and being able to put a book out are two different things.
Yeah.
How was your journey with actually putting a book out itself?
Wow. It actually was hectic, you know what I mean? Like, I would have loved to have done the traditional, which was always my goal, to, you know, write letters to the agents, and then when I get an agent, then, you know, have him push for me or her push for me to get with, you know, a big publisher. That was always my dream, because that's what I was taught. You know, I was taught the antiquated, traditional way on getting published, and I was down for it. But in 2002, I was, you know, hit with lupus, and so I had gotten really sick. And so I had some moments when I was pretty good or all right, and I would try to look on the computer or whatever. And I had a few people tell me, like, you know, you're sick. You have lupus. You don't even know, you know, how long you're going to live or whatever. Because I was, like, really bad. They thought that I was dying. And because, you know, that's how lupus is, a really sneaky, you know, disease. And sorry, they just said to me, you know, you don't want to sit around, you know, waiting to get published. You can do about 50, 60 letters before someone picks you up, if. So they said, you know, you better, you know, consider going ahead and publishing, self-publishing your book, because, you know, you have so much to write, you know, you got skills, blah, blah, blah. You know, you want to get it out there. So, you know, I thought about it, and especially when you think you're on your deathbed. I mean, when I tell you I was sick, literally. I was laying, you could lift my arm and let it go, and it would just plop right back down. I mean, I even thought I was on my way out. So I just, you know, wow. Once, you know, they gave me medicine and I started feeling better and, you know, everything started calming down, I guess, you know, the lupus took, you know, a little side seat or whatever, you know, the first thing that I started doing was, you know, putting the story down that came to me when I was really sick. And then I just made up my mind that I was going to go ahead and publish. You should have saw me. I was scared that you would have thought that the police were coming after me. I was pulling open trunks and suitcases. Wait, where's this one? Where's that one? This one's going to go first. Because now I think I'm dying, you know. So, you know, because I think I'm dying, I'm like, okay, I got to hurry up and I got to, you know, put them out. This one is going to be good. This is going to be the one that's going to sell. This one's going to make my name. This one, okay, they're in order. Let's go. You know, so that's how, you know, everything with me really got started. And, you know, once I made up my mind, you know, okay, what you going to do? You know, you got one life to live in the here and now. And, you know, it's only but so much time. You don't know when your day is, what you're going to do. And I pretty much jumped on the train to, you know, just publishing my stuff and getting it out there. And I've been on it ever since. You know, I had a publicist that told me that because I had been studying the publishing industry for, you know, over 10 years, that I should probably just start my own company. And I didn't want to, but I did it because, you know, I did know a lot about it. And, again, so afraid, you know, that, you know, I won't get my things out. I just went ahead and just started my company and just, you know, myself and my partner. and we just, you know, took off, you know, and she believed in me, you know. Of course, you know that my partner is my mother, but I try to keep it business-like, so I say my partner. But, but you know, she really believed in me, and, you know, and my mother, let me tell you, there's no critic harder than my mother. Believe me when I tell you.
I was going to ask you if it was hard to work with her. You know, sometimes I was working with, you know.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, sometimes, you know, it's hard to work with family members. So I was just curious, how was it difficult working with your own mother? See, I couldn't work with mine, but I'm glad you were able to work with yours.
I can't work with mine. So
so it's a privilege to be able to work with yours, you know?
Yeah, the thing is, we have our moments, and she knows. I go bananas, and the thing I love about it is that she understands that it's a lot of stress on my end because I have to try to focus on the creative part, and then she handles a lot of the business part. So she understands that, you know, and then, you know, I still have to deal with the whole lupus thing and everything. So she understands, and so she's patient and everything, and she understands my little tantrums and my little whatever. But and she gives me a lot of room. So, you know, on that note, I'm, you know, really good, you know, but she's critical when it comes to the writing part. Like, even now, she's waiting for the next book. You just see it. She looks like a linebacker waiting for me to just come downfield. You know, just waiting for me to come downfield. But believe me, it's all for the, you know, for the better. It's all good. She doesn't always agree with me. I don't think she particularly likes realism and naturalism because she's always been the Harlequin romance person. You know, she read all the Daniel Steele and all of those kind of books. You know, the Alice Walker and the Terry Miller. She loves all of them. So when I come with a style that hasn't been written since Mark Twain, since Charles Waddell Chestnut, and, you know, some of the old writers, when I come with this style that's kind of inundated, it's out. You know, nobody's doing this anymore. She's looking like, what is this? You know, why does it have to be like that? And I told them, look, this is my baby. This is my writing. This is how it's going down. And she just looks at me, and I know it gets under her skin, you know. Because I don't know how many people know it, but realism and naturalism was like the answer to romanticism. People were tired of this happy ever after, you know, type ending. So that's when they began to write, you know, stories that were like real life, you know. And then naturalism came in when you start talking about, like, why do the characters, you know, make the decisions they make? Why do they do what they do? And it's based on the whole Darwin theory, like, you know, inequalities, how you were raised, you know, things you may have experienced and went through, your environment, you know, all of those things play a part in why you do what you do. My mother was like, that's just too deep. Why can't just write? Just write. He loves her. She loves him. You know, then here comes someone in between, you know, the traditional, you know, type of thing or whatever. She doesn't say much, but I can tell by the way, you know, her expressions and how she carries on with it. But I love it, though. I love it.
Wow. Yeah, see, it's gotta be something to be able to work with your own parents like that, you know. So I'm glad that you're able to do it, and there's that understanding, because you need that understanding when you're in business with family. So
yeah.
I'm glad she gives me that room. You know what I mean? Because she could, you know, she could pull rank. She's still Mama Duke. You know what I mean? So she could pull rank. She could say, no, you know what? I don't want to hear that crap that played out in 1800s. It's over. It's done. Do it like this. But she doesn't. She allows me to be, you know, creative. And, you know, so far it works, especially with the first book. If you go to Amazon.com and you look under either Life Knows No Bounds, One Who Loves You More, or you look under Andrea Clinton, when you read the reviews on the first book, they're all good. The one flaw, the one comment that was made was some of the things I did, like in caps and bold, and people were saying they thought I was trying to go somewhere, they didn't get it. So when we did the next run, I fixed it. I put it back to the traditional way of doing things. And so if that was the only thing that got me down to 4 stars instead of 5, then I should be good. You know what I mean? So aside from that, you know, it was all good. It was a lot of, you know, really great, you know, reviews. And so, you know, I think that was the helping, you know, the factor, too, because if they would have said 2 or 3 and be like, what the heck? I think she would have been like, it's not working. No, come out of that genre and walk into the light, you know.
And you know, sometimes we have to go through, you know, sometimes you have to get the 1, the 2, the 3 stars.
Yeah.
you know, in order to what is it, to divine your craft, the whole, especially when you're doing something different, you know, like
yeah.
you said, something that hasn't been around. Sometimes it's going to take, you know, a lot of our African-American readers are heavily into the urban lit, the street lit,
yeah.
You know, erotica, romance. So mm-hmm. you have to find your readers, you know, that are willing to take a chance on something different. You know, the same with, you know, Tony's book when his come out. His is a mystery thriller. You know, mine's is more inspirational, mystery, romance type thing. So they're not the normal read. So, you know, the
yeah.
average person may read it and be like, okay, this is not what I thought it was, 2-star.
Oh, know? Wow.
And it may not necessarily be because the content was bad. It just may, you know, I just read something today on reviews and you know, how important they are to authors, but at the same time, how you really can't, you know, rely on them because, you know, you never know somebody's motivation behind that 2-star or that 1-star
yeah.
or that 3-star, you know, is the author getting 105 stars because they had all their best friends write glowing reviews, or, you know, are they getting 2 stars because it's another author that feels threatened by them, so they're, you know, on a negative bashing. You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
This industry is really, really cutthroat, unfortunately.
It is.
You know, it's really crazy. There's enough readers out there for everyone, but, you know.
I'm not particular about my book being reviewed by other authors. Don't get me wrong. There are some authors who do review, and I think they're fair. There are some authors out there that are so beautiful. Like, I'm growing by just looking and learning and talking to them because, you know, when I first came into this, you know, coming through the whole academic realm, you know, it's almost competitive. I mean, I've had professors who literally, you know, were in particular about one another because, you know, of the whole competition of getting your book written and, you know, New York bestseller and all that kind of thing. And so from what I was hearing and getting, I just had one idea of the industry as a whole. But I know, like, within the inner community and how, you know, we go about doing things, you get, you know, different strokes, different folks, you know, you get a mixture. And the one thing that I was surprised was to see, you know, some of those people who they're not threatened by you. They're just doing their thing. They're loving it. And, you know, they'll share. You know, they're very, you know, welcome with open arms. And I really love it. It's inspiring for me because I didn't know it to be like this when I was, you know, going to school and learning and befriending the professors or whatever. But that being said, those are the few. Like, for example, Monique DiMenza, she reviewed my first book, gave me a good review. Now, those things that she didn't, you know, like or whatever, she tastefully, you know, put it in there, how she felt about it. Not so much that she didn't like, but that she didn't understand or she didn't like the character. But come on, you know, even in good writing, you're going to have some characters that's not going to be desirable. But she gave me, I think, she either gave me 4 stars or 4.5, I can't remember, but she gave me a pretty good review, and I got to know her a little bit, and she's a nice sister. She's really fair. She's nice. You know, I haven't, you know, seen anything negative about her, and I actually, you know, in talking to her, she doesn't mind sharing, and I like that about her. But there are some, you know, I'm not saying I know some that are, you know, kind of whatever, you know, negative. I'm not going to say that I know them. But I'm just saying, I myself, having looked on Facebook and seen a lot of the drama and arguments and things like that, I would be nervous about letting another author read my book unless it was someone recommended to me by someone or someone I had gotten to know and they also review books and I can see that they have, you know, some kind of, you know, something about them or whatever. Otherwise, I would be a little nervous. And I have my book getting ready to go to a couple of authors. So that's not to say that I wouldn't send it to them. But I'm just saying, I would definitely be, you know, really kind of seeing who's who before I just go run send my book to somebody to review. Really.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. It's unfortunately, like I said, it's that this is that type of business, especially within our community, you know, especially within our community, which is unfortunate, you know, which only furthers the stigma that we already have. You know, as being the crabs in the barrel and wanting to pull each other down.
Oh, you just read my mind.
You know?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, crabs in the barrel. You said it. Oh, my goodness.
It only furthers that. It so only furthers that. You know, there, like I keep saying,
yeah.
there's enough readers out there for every single
person.
You know, point out what you like about the book. Even if you hate it, there's got to be something that you like. You know, and if you didn't like it, say why. There's a way to be there's a way to give a critique and not just say, oh, this was a terrible book. It sucked. I hated it. You know what I mean? There's a way to do it and, you know, say, you know what.
Professional,
You know, there's a way to do that, but you know, some of us can't get beyond that. But in the last couple of minutes, let everybody know where they can get your book at, where they can keep in touch with you from, you know, what's your Twitter, what's your website, so that they can go and find out for themselves how great this book is.
Oh, great. Well, I'm on Twitter as T. Clinton, TEACLINTON 13, and I'm on Facebook as author Andrea Clinton. You can get my book at the website, which is aroundthewaypublishing.com, and that's through PayPal. Or you can go to amazon.com /shops/cupcakestatus, and my daughter's selling it. And it's also on Kindle. And right now it's on Kindle for 99 cents. So I suggest everybody, like, really jump on it. I'm trying to, you know, put it out there like that so that this way people get to know, you know, how I write, get a feel for me as an author, so that when the next book comes out, you know, they'll be ready to jump on it and, you know, support, because they pretty much know how I write. And the next book is called A Blessing and a Curse. It was supposed to come out, so to those who are listening to the interview and are saying, like, you know, what was the deal, I have to apologize. I had unforeseen issues that really stagnated this book coming out. I take it as a sign from God, so I'm not going to go crazy behind it. But I had to spend the last couple of days just trying to digest the fact that it just wasn't meant to be right now. But it won't be out for the holidays. God willing, it'll be out the first of the year.
Wow. Awesome. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
you can also find links to Andrea from the TonyandKai.webs.com website. We will be posting up our review as well. We're authors, but don't worry, we are totally uncritical. Honest,
no,
but professional.
Okay.
I mean, this is what we do. You know, we're authors, but we also review on a regular basis. So, you know, on the Tony and Kai, Tony, the letter N, K-I-E, .webs.com website,
great.
You know, you can check out our past reviews, as well as very shortly our review of this book will be up. And if you would like to be a guest on our show, you can also find out how to do that from that website as well. But definitely check out the book. We enjoyed it. We loved it. Can't wait for the next one. It sounds definitely like
great.
A series that...
Yeah, it does sound good.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. I should have told you that. Also, the part two, everybody who reads part one, they're like killing me to get part two out. So about a year ago, I began to lay the blueprint out for part two, and believe me, it's getting hype. It's because it's from Omar's point of view. So because it's from Mel's point of view, it can't be too mushy. You know, it's really good. It's good. You guys are gonna love it. If you like this one, you're gonna love Omar's point of view.
Awesome. Well, we thank you for coming on, and Gwendolyn, I know she's listening. We thank her for getting in touch so that we can have you on and
thank you.
Getting the books to us. We totally enjoyed it. We love having open, honest authors that will come on and share their journeys with us. So we thank you for sharing your journey with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
You are so welcome. You are so very welcome. You enjoy your week, and we will see you guys here next Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, when we will re-talk with Red Snapper, because, you know, the first time we had that screw-up with the time. But he will be back next Monday. And, again, don't forget to check out Andrea Clark and her book, and get ready for part two.
God bless everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. Bye-bye.